All right, well, folks, if there is nothing else, no further announcements, then to call us formally into worship, I want to read the following call to worship scripture, and then we'll bow for a moment of prayer. Our call to worship message is taken this morning from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life that we so often take for granted, but Lord, we know that every breath we take is a gift from on high, and we are thankful. Lord, help us to praise you as we should. Give us the direction in our heart to look to you with gratitude for every blessing of life. As we have the blessing to come together through this Zoom meeting, Father, I ask that you will guide and direct us. Prepare our hearts before you so that we may be filled with gratitude for the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you use me simply as a vessel and that your word will go forth to praise and honor you. Lord, we have so many on our prayer list. We lift them up to you now because you are the great physician and you are able to heal. Lord, you are able to do all things. So we lift them up because we love them. And Father, we would like to see them healed. But we pray, dear Lord, that all things are yours and in your will may this healing be done. For blessings, Father, for the physical healing needs, for the emotional needs and the spiritual needs, for the guidance that we need. Father, we lift it all up to you who are able and say, please bless all of these on our prayer list generously. All those who care, all the family members, all those, dear Lord, that look to you in prayer. Father, give us peace and comfort in our hearts. Again, dear Lord, we pray for our nation and for the direction that it is heading. We pray, dear Lord, that you will physically lead the leaders that have been elected. Place your spirit in their hearts, we ask and pray, and direct and order our steps and turn our nation back to you. These things we ask and pray for in the name of Christ, and amen. Well, folks, this morning, I want to continue on in our, I'm going to call it a series because it's actually gone a little longer than what I thought I would originally be led to do in the 23rd Psalm. So I don't know if you have kept up with every single message that we've had, but this is the sixth message in this series on the 23rd Psalm. So I want to read the 23rd Psalm in its entirety again, and then from there we will go forward in what I want and feel that the Lord is leading me to focus on. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we all have our favorites. For so many, this psalm is a favorite. And I do, I think I remember, I mentioned this last Sunday that oftentimes the 23rd Psalm is associated with a family member or loved one or somebody passing away. And it's so applicable there. When we finish this series, I will go back and the last message on it will be for somebody facing death and how the 23rd Psalm has so much to talk about in that, in those circumstances. But this morning, I want us to recognize that the 23rd Psalm also applies to our daily life. And that's the way I think David, well, he wrote it from both perspectives, but predominantly from the perspective of our everyday daily life. It's my opinion that David, nobody knows for certain, this is only my opinion, but when David wrote these Psalms, I think because of the things that are expressed and come out in the Psalms, it was at some point after he became king. And this next verse, as we progress through the 23rd Psalm, helps validate for me that opinion that he was already king when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. The verse that we will focus on today is verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, before we begin to focus on that, I just want to take a few things from last Sunday to bring it forward to make it a little easier for this transition. Last week, we were focusing on verse 4, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And we all know, folks, it's a reality of life that we have difficult times. We have some dark valleys that we have to go through. That's just the way it is. But as God's people, we can't be complacent. We don't feed in the green pastures forever. The Lord takes us and He leads us to places where we need to go. He leads us to places where we need to be at certain times in our life. And sometimes that leading may go through these dark valleys. Sometimes it's necessary for us as God's children to go through these dark, difficult valleys. And even through the valley of the shadow of death, because it's in those valleys that things happen that eventually are for our good. You see, in those valleys, we encounter difficult trials of many, many different types. Oftentimes, we encounter, we don't like to think about it in today's world, but we still have them. We even encounter enemies in our lives, and certainly we can encounter evil. But it is in those valleys, in those dark, hard, difficult times where our faith is strengthened and our faith grows. I believe that sometimes the purpose to go through those valleys is for that alone, to strengthen and increase our faith. And when that happens, folks, in those dark valleys is where we grow the closest to the Lord, especially as we think about it from the connotation and the description that David is giving here. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we talked about the rod and the staff last Sunday too. I didn't focus as much on the staff, but I want you to recognize and think of this, and in your mind, let the symbolism be very prominent and strong. Once you think of the shepherd's staff, the shepherd's crook, it has that big arching hook on the end of it. In a shepherd's daily life, and I will say a good shepherd's daily life, who is living with the sheep as the shepherds did in David's time, and folks, it even occurs today. In the world today, there are places where shepherding a flock of sheep is still an occupation. It's still a cultural lifestyle for many people. And one of the responsibilities of the shepherd is to comfort his sheep. And he would use the staff to do that. And the staff is often referred to as the word, and certainly that comforts us. But in the physical everyday life, as David wrote this, a shepherd would use the staff as a tool. You see, he would grab a particular sheep by that crook and gently pull it close to him, especially when they were walking through dark valleys where sheep, just like people, become anxious and they are easy to panic. He would take a particular sheep that he selected. You might say that he chose to pull close to him. And he would hold it there with his staff as they walked along. Sometimes they walked for miles. Sometimes it would be an entire day, whatever was needed to comfort that particular sheep, to soothe its anxieties, and to take away all fears, even when it was in it through dangerous places and dark valleys. You see, the sheep, just like people, are very anxious creatures. And folks, we know that the Lord will pull us close too. His word can do that when we turn to Him. We can find comfort and peace in walking with the Lord. And we know His promise that He is with us always. It should be a daily walk with the Lord that we ascribe and aspire to do each day that the Lord gives us, a closer walk to Thee. And that's what the shepherd does with his staff. And he chooses the sheep that he does that with. David went on to say, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." I hope and pray that all of us, and I'm going to refer to us as more mature Christians, as we walk with the Lord, that our trust will be so great that we will fear no evil because we know that the Lord is with us. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the Lord tells us through the prophet Isaiah, and these are the Lord's word, and folks, they need to sink in deep, not only to our minds and our hearts, but into our very souls. Here he tells Israel through the prophet Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand." And folks, that happens when we are in those valleys in our life, and we should not be afraid. And then that brings us to verse 5, because David looks and he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Now, as we start focusing here on verse 5, there's several things that we need to be aware of. And the first one that stands out, and David has done this from in every single verse, you see, God is in control. He says, "You," referring to God, "you prepare a table." David's not preparing the table. God is preparing the table. The table is where we are cared for and where we are fed and where the family comes together. You prepare a table. God is in control. As a shepherd, the shepherd is always in control. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep in his flock. And yes, folks, you know, sometimes our lives go astray and we forget that God is in control. That's another reason the dark valleys are there, because it brings us back when have that feeling of losing all control. But we are always in the Good Shepherd's care. And David going through dark valleys, many of them too, which we'll get into in just a moment, I believe he's looking back here and saying, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." It's a beautiful image. The imagery can go in a couple of different directions. So I want to focus on two perspectives today, because people, you can read different theologians and you call them Bible scholars. A lot of people have written about the 23rd Psalm, and I would encourage all of you to go and research it for yourself. And you may have your own opinion here, but it seems that there could be the imagery changes. And it could be that David is looking from a different perspective now. I believe there are two perspectives. And personally, I believe that both of them apply. And David had both of them in his heart. Again, why I think he wrote this after he became king. The first perspective is that David is continuing to describe the Lord as his shepherd. And he's writing this from the aspects of being under the Good Shepherd's care, who's leading him and who is handling all of the responsibilities and the duties that are associated with being a good shepherd. Now, the second perspective is this, that David is describing God as a host caring for an honored guest at a table that the Lord has prepared. I think that both of these apply, and there's reasons to validate both. So first, I want to, I guess, look at and examine this from the perspective, continuing on, that the Lord is a shepherd. And of course, David, with his experience being a shepherd, was writing this to apply that to this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So let's look at it from the shepherd's perspective first. The Lord prepares a table. Now, I want you to, and you probably, many of this may know this. We sing about it in higher ground. You see, when the old English words for table most often referred to tableland, And if you look up tableland in any dictionary, I've chose from Britannica, the definition of tableland is a area of high flat land or plateau that's found in between the mountain ranges. And see, the valleys lead to these plateaus. And David is writing this from the perspective that the Lord is leading me and his sheep to this tableland, to this table. You prepare a table before me. You see, folks, sometimes the sheep would have to go from one pasture to another. And to get to that pasture, they had to go through those winding dark valleys to get to the next one that was good for them. Now, I've been referencing Philip Keller in his book that he wrote on the 23rd Psalm, because Philip Keller was a shepherd himself for 8 years. And he's a devout Christian. And this is a wonderful book that he wrote on the 23rd Psalm. And he wrote from the perspective of a shepherd and he has a greater understanding than the average person about what was required. In his book, he says, in some of the finest sheep country of the world, especially in the Western United States and in Southern Europe, the high plateau of the sheep ranges were referred to as mesas, the Spanish word for tables. Even in Africa, the word for table, mesa, is also used. It is a word that is commonly referred to as high flat plateau of any continent, a tableland. And he goes on to say, and as we think about this from the shepherd's perspective, the shepherd prepares the table. David said, "The Lord, you prepare the table." Well, the shepherd had to prepare these tabled lands. That was part of the responsibility. And I think that David is recognizing how God prepares things for us. Listen to what was required in the shepherd's preparation. Again, this is from Philip Keller, who had to do this himself and the other shepherds that he knew. This was a part of the responsibilities. In the early seasons, even before all the snow has been melted, the shepherd will go ahead and make preliminary survey trips into this high country, into these tablelands. He will look it over with great care, keeping ever in mind its best use for the sheep, for the flock during the coming season. Then, just before the sheep arrive, he will make another expedition or more, sometimes two or three, to prepare the tableland for them. He takes along supplies of salts and minerals to be distributed over the plateau, over the ranges, and at strategic spots for the benefit of the sheep during the summer. You see, if you stop right there, you need to recognize that summer's coming. The lower lands, it's going to be too dry and hot. The shepherd has to move the sheep. God moves us along, folks, too. You see, we don't stay down those lowlands. Sometimes we have to go through these valleys to get to these tabled lands, these plateaus. And the shepherd is preparing for that journey. He goes on to say that the shepherd looks for any signs of poisonous weeds, which he would go by and he would go forth and pluck with his own arms to get them out of this tabled land, out of this pasture land. And he said sometimes that took days to get rid of all the poisonous weeds. And there was another chore which the shepherd takes care on the tableland, he says. He goes to the watering holes, and he cleans out these spring-fed watering holes in these plateaus. Sometimes there would be small ponds or lakes, but this is up away from the rivers. Sometimes there may be small streams, but they would be fast-moving springs and streams. And we went over that several Sundays ago. Sheep are afraid of fast-moving water. So the shepherd would go into these tablelands, into these pastures, and he would build small dams so they would have a pond where they could drink from. And he would, or if they were natural springs, he would pull out the rocks and the thorns and the thistles that grew, so in preparation for the sheep, so they wouldn't be injured. And so they wouldn't be caught in thickets, because when they're caught in thickets, they're vulnerable to prey. He did all these things in preparation for the sheep. All his work in preparation, it took a long time. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, went forward before the sheep. And he did all the preparation before he ever led them there. And folks, the same is true for us. The shepherd did all this because he was devoted to the sheep. They belonged to him. just like we belong to the Lord. He was concerned for their welfare, just as Jesus Christ cares for me and you. It's a very intimate, very, to me, very, the imagery is so, so sweet of the care and the preparation that the shepherd does for the sheep, how he walks with them and comforts them, how he takes care of everything that they need in preparing this table and land for them. It's a beautiful picture to me when I think of that, and what springs to mind to me, and I'm sorry we don't have a PowerPoint to help with the pictures and the imagery, but I picture the sheep in these high green pastures feeding. And Philip Keller goes on to say, as your body is strengthened by a good meal, so you will be sustained as the Lord himself feeds you. And I picture those sheep feeding on those beautiful green pasture lands. And I think how the Lord feeds and provides for us. I've said this many times, none of us are spring chickens. We can all look back in our life and see how gracious the Lord has been to us. He has fed us every day. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. One day at a time, trust the Lord, and he will feed us. What a beautiful image, I think, that David is referring to when he says, you prepare a table before me. Now, the second perspective is more of the perspective from a host. You see, it's a little bit different now. This also applies. And I think that David only could relate to this and refer to this after he was king. You see, the customs were different back in those times and what they were a little bit later, even in the times when Jesus was here, and certainly from today. But David knew what was necessary to prepare a table. So in those times, when a host, or in David's case, when a king prepared a table for guests, there was a lot that was required for that. You see, somebody was invited to come to the king's table. Nobody could just come. They were an honored guest. He invited who he wanted to come to the table. And of course, folks, that sentence, that phrase invokes a lot of different things in our hearts and in our minds. Doesn't the Lord invite us to come to the banquet table too? We can read, I'm not going to go down that pathway just yet, but Jesus said, go out in the highways, invite those to come to my wedding feast, come to my banquet table. You had to be invited to go to the king's table. David is saying, you prepare a table before me. David is invited to this table that God has prepared before him, is the thought that comes across. So when a king or a host invited somebody to the table, they provided all the food, every bit of it, and all the drink, which back then was customarily wine, because water wasn't always clean to drink. The wine killed parasites and things. That's why we find it so much more prominently back then. But of course, as you go into a king's environment, wine was set aside for higher and more important people. The king provided, or the host provided, all the food, all the wine. And in David's time, the guest brought nothing. And if you think about it today, when ambassadors from other countries are invited to the State Department here in our country and in other countries, those invited guests still don't bring anything. They are, we use the term now, dignitaries that are invited to come to those state dinners. That part is the same true as it was in David's time. The honored guest was invited and they brought nothing. So that meant that the host provided for all the labor. They provided all the food, all the drink, all of the labor that was needed. They bore all the cost and all the expenses. They did everything that was necessary to provide for their guests. And the host would arrange it to where, when those honored guests came to the table, that they would find the environment restful and relaxing from what was oftentimes a long journey by foot, They walked most of the places where they went, oftentimes to get, especially around Jerusalem, in the higher elevations. They had to climb the hills to get there. So the guests may come in tired. Even if they rode donkeys, they still had to walk some. And they would come in oftentimes a little fatigued from their journey. And the host wanted to provide an atmosphere where they could come and provide peace and relaxation and rest at the table. And even if he was inviting somebody from one of the nations that were oftentimes not the best terms between the two nations, it, just as it is now, it was customary back then that there was peace at the table, that the honored guest could come. They could dine. They could relax and enjoy without worry and without fear. And now, as we picture that, David is telling, or he is describing in this psalm, the Lord prepares a table before me. You see, the Lord is inviting him, and he goes on to say many more things, but I just want you to think for a moment. What a joyful thought to think that we've been invited to that table too. That the Lord would invite me and invite you, that he would invite his children to come and dine with him. It humbles me to think that you would be an honored guest to come and dine at the table. But you see, folks, there's something here that's a lot more, or equally, I shouldn't say more, it's equally as important. He does all this, he says, in the presence of my enemies. You see, David, if you think for just a moment, David had a lot of enemies. And it's another reason why I think he's reflecting back when he wrote Psalm 23. I think he's reflecting back, and actually I think he's looking forward too, because he recognizes something that applies to us. And this is very important, at least I feel that it is. You see, David is reflecting back on his experiences in life, all those dark valleys that he had to go through and he had to traverse. And he's recognizing that God has blessed him. And he's done it in the full view of the world, in front of all his enemies. And when I say he's looking forward, he knows that he's done it in front of Satan. And folks, I'm telling you, I believe this with all my heart and soul, the same thing applies to me and you. The Lord has blessed us, and he's not hidden those blessings from us. They are evident for everybody to see. Can you apply that to your life? Can you think of how all the blessings you have, where did they come from? You know, blessings aren't described by necessarily the wealth that you've accumulated. There's so much more in life. What about peace in our heart? What about walking with the Savior each and every day? What about sharing our faith with our children and our grandchildren and fellow believers in Christ? Look at the joy and peace that comes from that. You know, and that's just a couple of the blessings that you can refer to. The Lord has been so good to us. He doesn't slip us money under the table, so to speak, as a blessing. No, the Lord blesses us in full view of the entire world. I want you to think for just a moment of the enemies that David had. Because David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that's a profound statement to make. Folks, we have enemies too. And God doesn't hide the blessings that he bestows upon us. You know, there's a distinction between God's children and those who are not. And as God's children, we need to be looking for him for all of our blessings. And folks, we need to recognize we do have enemies too, just like David did. So think about the enemies that David had for just a moment. As he said, that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. In his early years when he was a shepherd, he didn't have a good relationship with his brothers. He was the youngest, and oftentimes the older brothers, especially the age span between David and the oldest, there was a lot of disdain for the youngers. They condescended to him. It's almost like you could say that his older brothers didn't care for him at all and despised him. They ridiculed him when he went before Saul and said that he would fight Goliath. But we know it is by and through God's protective hand that David was able to defeat Goliath. What separated David was the great faith that he had that the Lord would protect him, just as he had when he killed a bear and a lion shepherding the flock. But also because the Bible tells us that David had a heart after God's own heart. And he was jealous for the reputation of the God of Israel. And he couldn't stand it that other people were ridiculing and defaming Israel as God's chosen people. So he was fighting, you might say, in defense of God's honor. And the Lord protected him. But yet there was envy that came from that great accomplishment of him killing Goliath. After that, you would think that Saul would exalt him above all things. But Saul grew to resent David, and he hunted him. David was a fugitive. And that went on for a while. David lived in caves. He was hungry. He was cold. You talk about walking through dark valleys. You see, he had enemies that were after him, and his life was miserable for a while when he was a fugitive, never knowing if he was going to be killed. But through it all, God protected him, and God led him, folks. Sometimes we don't see it in our dark valleys, but the Lord is leading us. And he led David, and eventually Saul died. The God preserved David. After David became king, there were even though the nation came together to elect him as king, there were still rival tribes that resented David. That's always the case, especially as you look back in history. The tribes resented him. There was deep trust. They were looking for every potential flaw to try to overthrow him and to attack him, to rid them of him so they could become king. You see, he even had potential enemies in his own courts. How sad that is, but it's true. The nation surrounding Judah and Israel, they were envious of the blessings that the Lord gave to Israel, and he was at constant war with those pagan nations. And then even later in his life, in his own family, David had tragedy from a fractured family of those that resented him, were envious of him because he was king. How many times other people are envious of what me and you, what we may have, or of what other people have? You know, the 10th commandment is there for a reason, thou shalt not covet. But yet people do. And people wanted what David had, even his own family. Absalom raised a rebellion. David had to flee for his life from his own son. An enemy within his own family. And folks, we know that story. Absalom died, and it broke David's heart. David was ready to forgive. He didn't care because he loved his son. You see, David went through a lot of dark valleys, but through all of those times, God blessed him. God sustained him. In 2 Kings 2, chapter 2, verse 11, the word tells us that David reigned over Israel for 40 years. 7 years he reigned over Hebron, and then in Jerusalem he reigned for 33 years, for a total of 40 years. As you think about all those enemies that David had, both as a shepherd and then later as a king, again, it makes me feel that David wrote this psalm at some point after he became king, because he recognized, how did he survive all those things? It was because God's leading, omnipotent hand. And God provided for him. And he prepared and blessed David in full view of all his enemies. And you know something? With all the battles that David had, all these enemies, as hard as they tried, there was nothing that these enemies could do to overcome David and take away the blessings that God had given him. He had prepared a table for David and blessed him in full view of his enemies. And folks, it was by God's hand from the very beginning that all this occurred. In the book of 1 Samuel 16:13, here the Lord is talking to the prophet Samuel, and he tells him that I have rejected Saul. So Saul would not be king anymore. He says, I have chosen for myself another. And then in verse 13, the Lord is directing Samuel, and he's telling him to go to Jesse, David's father, Jesse the Bethlehemite, for that's who, and you will find whom I have chosen. So in verse 13, he says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that being David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, it is the Lord who ordains. It is the Lord who blesses. It is the Lord who prepares the table before David and before us. You see, God chose David, and he prepared the finest for David, just as he does for us, folks. And I hope the symbolism there is very strong. God chose David, just like he chose me and you. He chose all believers before the foundation of the world. And yes, he prepares the table for all of his children. He prepares the finest for all of his children. And this brings us to, I call it a marker verse, a favorite verse, a verse that is so strong in our doctrine, in our theology, and in our understanding because it applies to grace and God's choosing. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, there's that word again, prepared. It is the Lord who prepares. It is the Lord who chooses. It is the Lord who blesses. It is the Lord that prepares the table. And he prepares the very finest for his children, which are honored guests at his table. To further, I guess, underline and emphasize the choosing, Jesus said the following, and I think the imagery is there intentionally from our Lord, because he's talking to the disciples and all his followers. And they are a little apprehensive. And he tells them in Luke chapter 12, verse 34, 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. David said, I will not fear, for you are with me. Jesus is saying, do not fear, little flock. You see, we are the sheep of his pasture. And it is the Lord's good pleasure, his will, to give you the very finest. The kingdom of God. And folks, we have that through Jesus Christ. Because as believers, the Lord has revealed to you and to me and to all his children, he's given us that gift of faith and revealed himself to us. So as David said it, the whole world saw his blessings. The Lord prepared the table. He went ahead and did the preparation work. And folks, he did it for you, and he has sown in your hearts the seed of faith. And as believers in God, we should proclaim his greatness, his blessings, his mercies, and his great love in front of the whole world. As we think about our blessings are evident, are open for all to see, shouldn't our love and our honor and our regard and faith in the Lord be evident for all to see? You know, Jesus referred to us as the light of the world, and you don't like. Light a candle and place it under a basket so it's hidden. No, our light needs to be shining for others to see. David is writing this psalm for others to read. We need to be proclaiming the greatness of God as we recognize how greatly he has blessed us. As we recognize that we feed from the Lord's table every day, it is by his hands we are fed. Psalm 96, verse 3 tells us, declare his glory among the nations, all his wonders among the people. And David did that. You see, he was a man after the Lord's own heart in that he cherished his faith. He shared his faith, and he proclaimed it amongst all the others in front of all his enemies. And God blessed him in front of all his enemies. And folks, God blesses us in front of our enemies too. And make no mistake, even when we're not down in the valley and we're up in the plateau, we still have enemies around. There are still those people that will want to prey on us. Satan is still there. But we need to defiantly not be afraid and proclaim God's goodness, because His goodness is there with us and we cannot be separated from us. You see, as the sheep of God's pasture, and as we look back over Psalm 23 up to this point, I hope you can understand these things I'm about to, and when I say understand, I mean apply them and feel the same thing that I do as you think of the 23rd Psalm and you and your life. When you say the Lord is your shepherd, you are identifying God as one whom you serve and whom you follow and who owns you. He owns you. He bought you with a heavy price. You are bought and adopted into the flock of God. So, as a sheep in the Lord's pasture, you can say, He leads me into rest and into righteousness. Sometimes that leading might be difficult and it might be harmful, but it will end up in rest and righteousness, just like it does up into those plateaus, in those plateaus, those tablelands. And in those tablelands where we feast and begin eating the good things the Lord has prepared for us, it restores our soul. You can say, He restores me. And even with that staff, when I begin to wander, the good shepherd will bring me back, even if I falter and fall, because He cares and He loves us. You can say, He guards me from evil, just like the shepherd did from predators, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, when we have that close relationship with the Lord, we do not have any reason to fear evil because He is with us. I will fear no evil because my shepherd is with me, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. We can all say that because the Lord is our shepherd. And folks, he prepares a place for me and for you and all of his children at his table. And while we are here at this life, we can feast at that table. Every time we feast on the bread of life, which is the Word, which is Jesus Christ, every time we turn to Him, the Word should feed us and it should give us rest and it should strengthen us. Now, as we close, I want to read Psalm 100 because it's a song of thanksgiving. To me, every day should be a day of thanksgiving as we reflect back, as David was, over the blessings that he had in his life, over the blessings that we have in our life, and over the blessing which lies in front of us, the kingdom. Psalm 100, and it is something we should live by and try to do each and every day. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, this generation is so far removed from David, but the truth of this psalm rings so true and is so applicable to us. God has blessed you openly. Share your faith openly because it can be a blessing for somebody else. Tell the other people in your lives, and even those that you don't know that closely, about the good things of what the Lord has done for you. That is my prayer for all of us as a church and as individuals and as we live each day that the Lord gives us. May we make it an imperative to tell others about the good things of the Lord and do it, folks, without fear, even in the presence of your enemies. May the Lord add his blessings is my prayer.